we're gonna get started. I don't think we'll have time to do this. I forgot my watch, so I'm not quite sure. I'm sure somebody will let me know what time it is. God's got the time. Well, I'm reminded what Steve Holt told us about the watch. Do y'all remember what he said? What, when a preacher doesn't have his watch, what does that mean? You remember what his remark was? Nothing. There you go. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And we're going to be all over the place tonight. I want to talk to you about the need for persistent prayer. Boy, if we hadn't proved in the last 6 months that we need to be persistent in our prayer life, then we got some more stuff coming. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 5. The Lord says, "Bow down your ear, O Lord." This is David. "Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, Lord, I lift my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." Go back to verse 3 and look at how he words that. "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you how long? All day long." So he's got a habit of praying in a persistent way. When David says all day, it's not like we get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. He gets up at sun up and goes to bed at sundown and just continues to pray. He prays as long as he needs to. So I want to give you a few thoughts about persistent praying. So run over to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And look at verse 1. But notice who's teaching this lesson. Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus. So then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So David prays all night. What does Jesus tell us? We ought to be praying constantly, over and over. And as you pray, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Remember the persistent widow. She went to the judge over and over and over. He got tired of it, so he answered the prayer. Well, God doesn't get tired of us asking, but he does expect us to come over and over and over to him. And then remember what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. They're just not thoughts. They're instruction from God, from Jesus, prayer warriors in the Bible, how to persistently go to the Lord and pray. It's a constant state of praying. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. A couple, 2 or 3 years ago, we talked about this pray without ceasing in discipleship training right here with the men. And one of our men took me to task and said, "We can't pray without ceasing. It's impossible." Well, my answer was, I stared at him and thought it through. And maybe he can't pray without ceasing, but he can sure have an attitude of praying without ceasing. And that goes a long way. That's what Paul's talking about. You're in a constant state of praying. It's not necessarily voicing a prayer every single second, but when you see something, you pray about it. And you pray through things and around things and for things and after things. And you just continue praying. And once you get that kind of attitude, you'd be amazed at how easy the prayer comes and you're not even thinking about praying. Pray without ceasing. Well, I don't have to tell you that man's not here anymore. And he's not very happy. know, he's still learning. So we pray without ceasing. And if Jesus tells us we ought to pray, then the first reason we ought to pray persistently is because Jesus told us to.
Amen.
Right? So think about us. Think about our church, our prayer life at church, your prayer life at home. And if Jesus tells us we ought to be praying, and don't lose heart when you pray. And we know King David, he was a prayer warrior like nobody's business. And he prayed all night and all day many, many times. And just go through the Bible and see all the ones that prayed and prayed and prayed. And we're going to look at the prayer of Gethsemane in just a minute. You know, when the Lord went to the garden, didn't have a burden on his heart.
Amen.
And the Bible said he prayed all night long. How many times, we won't even look at the scripture, we know this. How many times did Jesus return? And as he returned, he found his disciples doing what? Sleeping. Three times. Now, what about us? If Jesus, now, this was what I was dealing with in my own heart. If Jesus were to ask me to pray with him, do you think he'd find me sleeping? And you can't answer that, can you? Because I could be found asleep. All of us could be. If those disciples were found asleep three times, then we're guilty of it and could be guilty of it as well. But Jesus expected them to be praying that whole time. So if Jesus expects it, shouldn't we try to make that part of our life? Does that make sense? So once I come up with these thoughts, sometimes they're good thoughts, and sometimes they're silly thoughts, but they're still thoughts that have to be thought through. So, you know, in reviewing my prayer life, do I fall asleep on the Lord? And let's turn that back to the church. Does the church fall asleep on the Lord? And you answer that for me. Have we fallen asleep at Hillcrest Baptist Church? Yeah, I mean, you know, I know there's reasons not to be here, but you know the prayer meeting is the least attended service. Why is that? To me, it's one of the most exciting parts, you know. That's where our power is, right here. When we come to the Lord, that's the reason I write all these down, and I repeat your prayer concerns, unless we just run out of time. Because that's where we're going to God, and we're praying, and we pray without ceasing to God about these prayers. That's our power as a church. That's our power as a Christian. Jesus says, pray without ceasing. Through Paul, he says we ought to be praying, and he almost begs us, please, don't lose heart. I wonder why he would tell us that. Don't lose heart. Nate, have you ever lost heart? Yeah, all of us have. He's encouraging us. Man, the answer is right there in Jesus. It's not in our politicians, although we pray for them. It's not in somebody else, would you pray for me? Because we have the privilege of praying ourselves. The answer is going to Jesus about every single thing. So, in the garden, Jesus prayed all night because he had a burden. Remember what his burden was? What was his number one reason for praying in the garden? Now you guys remember what it was. What was his number one reason to pray in the garden?
Sins on the cross.
Well, that, which leads to not my will, but God's will. He was going to hang on the cross, and he knew it. He did not really go through that experience. He's praying and crying these teardrops of blood because he didn't want to experience the forsaking of his Father. Yet, three times he said, Lord, your will, not mine. So as we pray without ceasing, we ought to always pray and don't lose heart. What's our number one thing to pray for, according to Jesus? Yeah, the will of God. So think about that as we think about our prayer life. pretty important to know that he got in the garden on his knees and he prayed. And as he was praying to Father. Very close relationship. You don't get any closer than they were. In love with his Father, Father in love with him. Father's going to have to turn his back on his own son that he loves so much because of us. I know. How many? Every so often? I don't know how many times a day God blesses us that we ought to thank him. There's a lot of things that goes on in your body that only God put there. How often do you thank him? I'm not even going to destroy this word, but how often do you thank him for your epiglottis? That's that little flapper in there, by the way, that keeps you from choking on your spit, I think. Is it that little thing back there? Whatever it is, do you thank him for it? I have, even though I don't know what it is, what it does. I thank him for it every so often. I just want to impress him with my vocabulary. He goes, oh boy, there he goes again. But there's all sorts of things in this body that he's put in there that makes the body work. How can he thank him for all those little doodads in there? That's a medical term, by the way, doodad. Sam, why don't you just put your fingers in the air for right now? I'm blowing away. Yeah. What you said? Let me give you several things real fast, what Jesus addresses to us in the garden. First of all, prayer acknowledges God's existence. My Father, your will, not mine. He acknowledged that God existed in his life and our life. Number two, prayer bows down to God's glory. Remember, Jesus was bowing to the Lord. This is Lord bowing to the Lord. He's acknowledging God's glory. Prayer submits to God's plan. Your will, not my will. Now, Jesus was as fully God as God is God. He could have said, I'm not doing it your way, Father. I'm going to do it my way because I'm God. But did he do that? No. He acknowledged, he submitted to God's will. Prayer confesses allegiance to God's kingdom. Why did he get in there to do God's will? Wasn't it to increase the kingdom of God as he hung on that cross that he gave us the privilege of belonging to his kingdom? Number five is prayer rest in God's provisions. As he gets done with his prayer, he wakes the guys up and says, come on, let's go. Let's be about the Father's business. Let's let God take care of us. You know, Jesus was going to be crucified. He knew it. He's going to be arrested, beaten, and all that. But God was going to take care of him. So Jesus, by going forward, he saying, God, I trust in your provisions. Also, prayer, this kind of praying, celebrates God's grace. Thank you, Father, for all your grace poured out on us. And then prayer commits us to God's work. You cannot work for God without prayer. It requires praying without ceasing to accomplish God's will. That's how come I think churches fail, because they quit praying. They do away with prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. They quit leading as a church, leading in prayer. Anyways, let's go to the Lord and pray now. Almighty Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that we have Jesus as our number one instructor of prayer. And Lord, there's a slew of examples in the Bible of prayer warriors. Father, we've all been around prayer warriors. And I pray, Lord, that we would be considered prayer warriors ourselves, and we would attempt to have that attitude of praying without ceasing. And as we pray without ceasing, that we'd see the glory of God answering our prayers and see what you're doing in people's lives. And Father, that our spiritual walk would just come alive. Father, as we leave tonight, I pray that you protect each one as they go home, and traveling mercies from here to there, provisions for life tomorrow. Lord, our willingness to serve you and do your will tomorrow. I pray, God, these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.